Testing 1, 2, 3. Good afternoon, everybody. Testing 1, 2, 3.
Of my God, and my lungs have not yet developed the ability to release a breath with enough agility to breathe out the greatness of His love. And my voice, you see, my voice is so inhibited, restrained by human limits, that it's hard to even send a praise up. You see, if there are words for Him, then I don't have them. My God, His grace is remarkable. Mercies are innumerable. Strength is impenetrable. He is honorable, accountable, favorable. He's unsearchable yet knowable. Indefinable yet approachable. Indescribable yet personal. He is beyond comprehension, further than imagination. Constitute generations, King of every nation. But if there are words for Him, then I don't have them. You see, my words are few. And to try and capture the one true God using my vocabulary would never do. But I use words as an expression of worship to a Savior who is both worthy and deserving of my praise. So I use words. My heart extols the Lord, blesses His name forever. He has won my heart, captured my mind, and His bound them both together. He has defeated me in my rebellion, conquered me in my sin. He has welcomed me into His presence, completely invited me in. He has made Himself the object of my sight, flooding me with mercies in the morning, drowning me with grace in the night. But if there are words for him, then I don't have them. But what I do have is good news. For my God knew that man-made words would never do. But words are just tools that we use to point to the truth. So he sent his son, Jesus Christ, as the word, living proof. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, giving nothingness formation. And by his word he sustains in the power of his name. For he is before all things, and over all things he reigns. Holy is his name, so praise him for his life. The way he persevered in strife, the humble Son of God becoming the perfect sacrifice. Praise him for his death. That he willingly stood in our place, that he lovingly endured the grave, that he battled our enemy and on the third day rose in victory. He is everything that was promised. Praise him as a risen king. Lift your voice and sing. For one day he will return for us, and we will finally be united with our Savior for eternity. Eternity. So it's not just words that I proclaim. For my word points to the word, and the word has a name. Hope has a name. Joy has a name. Peace has a name. Love has a name.
Amen. Amen.
Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, everybody. Welcome. Happy Monday. And here we are. If America wasn't split down the middle before, she sure is now, as domestic anarchist groups are turning up the heat. Last Friday, the United States Supreme Court sent shockwaves not only across America, but around the world by undoing a half century of Roe versus Wade ruling on abortion. In France, Emmanuel Macron led the charge to change the French Constitution to codify abortion on demand as the right of every French citizen. Kind of funny how Macron was the first to respond. The children of pride have a king over them, the Bible says, and it just may be Emmanuel Macron, but I digress. Job 41:34, he beholdeth all high things. He is a king over the children of pride. On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, all the seemingly loose ends of Bible prophecy are starting to come together to tie themselves up in a pretty little bow where we can get a good look at them. Take Emmanuel Macron, Pride Month, Roe versus Wade, and the New World Order. Put them all together and where are you? You are smack dab in the middle of 2022 on day 833 of 15 days to flatten the curve. That's where you are. Oh, and I almost forgot. Pretend President Joe Biden last week told us that a second pandemic is coming. At the same time, we hear news reports of disease X hitting the airwaves. People, I couldn't make half this stuff up that's actually happening right now, and we're going to talk about all that and so much more today on the Prophecy News Podcast. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Father God, for all these that you've gathered here. Lord, we pray for Jeanette this morning. She's going through an unexpected trial and needs our prayers and also prayers for a new caregiver. Kathy Heald is asking prayers for her husband, Robert. Robert just had surgery and is now having problems with blood pressure and experiencing dizzy spells. Lori Ann's mom, Joyce, is in need of an apartment and asking prayers that God would lead her to the right place. Paul and Peggy Caulfield, we've been praying for them. They haven't been feeling well. Paul is better. Peggy is still sick. Kentucky Jeffrey has an unspoken prayer request. Jill says, salvation prayer for my three nieces, Carissa, Emmy, and Tori. And Jill also has a praise report. She says, praise the Lord for working in hearts. My husband is getting help. It's worldly, but I'm praying for God's intervention. My daughter is being convicted and knows that she has a life-altering choice with Jesus as Savior. My son is still wanting to hold out. He's young, but praise the Lord, she says, for my ordination and for God's leading in starting a church in St. Augustine. Heavenly Father, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, we come before you, Father God, and we ask you to work and move as only you can. We ask you to heal where healing is needed. We ask you to intercede and restore. And Lord, you've given us the ministry of reconciliation, and we just pray today that everything that needs to be reconciled according to your will be. And we commit this time to you, God, and we thank you, we praise you, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. It is raining cats and dogs here in St. Augustine, Florida, but it hasn't rained for a couple of weeks, and we certainly do need it. So I thank God for the rain today. America is on fire right now. America is literally being ripped apart at the seams. And Roe versus Wade has exposed that to a very, very high degree. Now, this second civil war that we're experiencing, this didn't start with Roe versus Wade. It didn't start with Obama. It did start with Obama. I got ahead of myself there. I was going to say it didn't start with Roe versus Wade. It didn't start with Joe Biden. It didn't start with Donald Trump. But it did start with Barack Obama going back to about 2010, 2012. And if you remember all the unbelievable changes that the Obama-Biden administration forced upon America. It was Barack Obama who declared June to be Pride Month. It was Barack Obama who insisted on something called transgender rights. And if you look at all the things that have been dividing this country, they've been brought to you courtesy of Barack Obama and Joe Biden to a very, very high degree. And Roe versus Wade has kind of reset the table. And now we're going in a completely different direction. Let's take a listen to what type of direction that America is going in right now. Let's take a listen to this.
And I'm here to tell you that our enemies are not just the jackasses sitting behind those ivory towers. It's not the orange state of s**t that left office a few years ago. It's not just Tucker f***ing Carlson on Fox News. It is every single one of them. The time for compromise is over!
Keep abortion safe and legal! 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 Keep abortion!
Now is the time to rise the f*** up! Now is the time to pour into the streets like never before!
The patriarchy, all these pigs, all that mother in office. We need to get them out as soon as possible. Why should we have people who were born in a completely different generation decide what we do with our bodies?
This decision is illegitimate.
This court is illegitimate.
I am a doctor. I'm a physician.
Yeah!
I care so much about your health. Abortion is health care.
Yeah!
I would urge everyone caution, though. The issue goes back to the states, so there will still be abortion in this country, but some states, I guess, the ban will go into effect right away.
We trust women. We won't go back.
We will have to do
That's about all that I can take for the moment, but I think that gives you a nice little slice of life so that you can understand exactly where America is here on June 27th, 2022 at 12:09 in the afternoon. Now, what you need to understand is that Roe versus Wade did not create that. Roe versus Wade and the undoing of Roe versus Wade by the U.S. Supreme Court last Friday, that did not create that. That revealed that. That exposed that. And for the last 13 years here at NowTheEndBegins.com, we have been bringing you thousands and thousands of articles. We're 500 articles away from 10,000 published articles over the last 13 years. And if you have spent any time reading Now the End Begins, if you spent time in our article archives, if you've subscribed to our free subscription service where we send you the articles to your email at no cost to you, then you know that we've been talking about this for a long, long, long time. And so the things that happened last week with the U.S. Supreme Court and the reversing of Roe versus Wade, that is not creating the problem. That is exposing the problem. The problem has been there the entire time. Mia from Texas is asking, why does this upset me so much and why does it make me cry? Well, I'll be honest with you, sometimes it makes me cry. It really does. I remember a completely different America when I was growing up. I remember a completely different United States. Now, politics have always been politics, and the right is really not a whole lot different from the left. I like to say that they're two wings of the same bird, and they eventually take you to the same place. But at least from a general perception, when I was a child, America was a very, very, very different place. I can remember when I was about 10 or 12 and playing with my friends and somebody would start a fight or some kid from a different neighborhood would come into our neighborhood and there would be a conflict. I can remember the days when the only thing that you had to do to stop that problem was that somebody's mom had to come out of the house and say, now you boys, you stop that. And instantly, the problem stopped. And the troublemakers ran away. All because of somebody's mother who just simply said, now you boys, stop that. Now, you want to try that in 2022? I was walking out in front of the bookstore last week, and these two kids were riding on bicycles. They were about 14 or 15, and they were causing trouble. And I went over there to attempt to pacify the situation. And those kids, they ran off on the bike looking over their shoulders and just saying, F you, mister, F you, mister. That's the world that we live in 2022. The days where somebody's mom could step out into the yard and everybody would give that mother the respect that she deserved. Because that's the type of society that we used to have. And now somebody's mother comes out to try to stop the problem and she gets a bullet in her chest. That's the world that we live in today. And it's a sad, sad, sad thing. My friend Trisha lives over by Pensacola. And she works as a dispatcher for the police. And she tells me these stories sometimes of stuff that's happening, and it's enough to make your hair curl. Absolutely. And yet, it's just business as usual in 2022. Carolyn is asking me a question. She says, Pastor Jeff, do I consider everything that's happening now perilous times? Well, that's a real good question. Open your Bibles. The only way you can understand what all this really is you got to open your Bible. God's already figured it out for us. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Carolyn has a question about perilous times. And let's just read 2 Timothy 3 verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. This know also that in the last days perilous time shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. You know what? Everything that I just told you is connected with. It is connected with the rising spirit of Antichrist and the man of sin who is about to be revealed shortly. And if you count up the number of things mentioned here, they're going to be really, really close to 18 different things that Paul says will be a sign of the last days. And these are the days that we find ourselves in. So, Carolyn, the answer to your question is a resounding yes. Absolutely, absolutely. So, how do we understand the things that we see going on? How do we understand all of this craziness? Well, before we answer, well, obviously it's the King James Bible. But I want to play this clip from a woman named Anna Kasparian, and she is one of the two people that run this far-left liberal YouTube channel called The Young Turks. And they used to be really popular a couple of years ago. They got popular at the same time that Alex Jones got popular, even though Alex Jones and The Young Turks are really polar opposites. But I want to play this clip from a group called the Young Turks, and I want you to listen to what Anna Kasparian said just the other day about the Roe versus Wade reversal. Take a listen.
These comments might be strong, but it's how I genuinely feel. I don't care that you're a Christian. I don't care what the Bible says. Like, I feel like it's a clown show. Like sitting here trying to decipher what your little mythical book has to say about these very real political issues, right? I don't care if you're Christian. In fact, I will fight for you to have your religious liberty and practice your Christianity. I believe in that. I don't believe in Christianity, which means that you do not get to dictate the way I live my life based on your religion. I don't care what what the Bible says. You have every right in the world. All those women who identify with your religion have every right in the world to not get an abortion, to not take birth control. But they do not have the right to dictate my life and what I decide to do with my body. I don't care about your damn religion. I'm so tired of having nonstop conversations about what the Bible says. You live your life in the way that you interpret the Bible. Again, I don't care, but you don't get to take the Bible and tell me, well, the Bible says this in this chapter and this verse. I don't care. I don't care. I don't believe in it. And I have the right, based on our Constitution, to not believe in it.
And she's technically correct. She certainly does have the right to not believe in the Bible. The Bible is, it only works in the lives who effectually believe it. That's what the Bible says. Take a listen to this. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 2:13 that the word of God may be quick and powerful, and it divides asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow. That's absolutely correct. But if you want to understand what the Bible has to say, if you want to receive the prophetic revelation that God has located within your King James Bible, Paul says that the word of God effectually worketh in people that believe what's written there. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the apostle Paul says that this is what God is going to do to the people who miss the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, if you miss the rapture, this is what you have waiting for you. 2 Thessalonians 2:8. Now, Anna Kasparian said, I don't believe it, I don't want it, I don't believe it, don't force it on me. God's not forcing it on you. He is offering it to you. And Anna Kasparian said repeatedly, I mean, that clip was only a minute and 17 seconds, and she probably said, I don't believe it, about 9 or 10 times. And that is certainly her right to do that. But if she doesn't change her opinion of the Bible, she's going to miss the rapture. And 2 Thessalonians 2:8 says this is what will happen for Anna Kasparian after the rapture takes place. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, what does it sound like when you believe a lie? Take a listen to this. New York City councilwoman defends drag queen story hour. This is exactly what it sounds like when you believe and defend a lie.
As a queer New Yorker and as co-chair of the LGBTQIA plus caucus, let me say that Drag Queen Story Hour NYC is a wonderful, wholesome, vital program.
Julian is a mermaid, from the stars in the sky to the fish in the sea, and Yolanda felt loved.
inviting colorfully, playfully dressed performers to read our children's stories is an invitation for our kids to dress up, to explore.
Do you think exposing children to drag will result in more kids doing drag eventually?
I think so, and I hope so.
To see themselves as unique individuals with the right to be however they want to be in the world. It shows queer youth and their peers alike that each of them is valid, that they all belong, that we all belong. And so as a career public safety advocate, I have to add that it's exactly this kind of program that gets to the root causes of hate and prevents violence down the road. That is that Drag Queen Story Hour NYC is not only a great educational program, it's an important piece of public safety infrastructure. By contrast, my colleague's groomer rhetoric poses a danger to public safety. Casting this worthy, enriching program as a form of child abuse is an incitement to violence against our queer and trans neighbors, friends, and family.
Yes, it can be negative at times, but I think that drag builds confidence.
And it cannot be tolerated ever, especially now, at a time when queer and trans youth are being targeted for violence, discrimination, and forced genital inspection regimes everywhere across the country. And so I call on my colleague to apologize and to renounce such hate speech going forward. And I want to thank everybody else in this room who is holding space for us. Thank you.
Well, the Bible is not holding any space for you, and I will not apologize for our position and our stance that Drag Queen Story Hour is indeed child abuse, and it leads to child molestation, and about half of everybody who is a Drag Queen Story Hour performer is a pedophile. And that is not hate speech. That is a factual assessment of what's going on. Now, that clip that I just played for you was from a meeting of the New York City Council, and that was a councilwoman that was using words like wholesome to defend the Drag Queen Story Hour. Now, are you starting to see when the Bible says that in the end times it's going to be like the days of Lot? Are you starting to see what that really, really means? In Luke 17, starting in verse 26, Luke 17, 26, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." What do you think is going to take place after the pre-tribulation rapture of the church? The pre-trib rapture is the very first event on the Day of the Lord timeline. The pre-trib rapture removes the church, takes the church up into the clouds, up into heaven. We go to the judgment seat of Christ, we go to the marriage of the Lamb, and then we mount up on white horses and we come back. Now, during that seven-year time period where we're gone, all these people in these clips that I'm playing for you, these are the people that are going to be in charge. These are the people that are going to be running things. And what is the one world religion? The one world religion is Chrislam. It is idol worship. Turn to Revelation chapter 9. Turn to Revelation chapter 9. and I'll show you the one world religion. Revelation 9, verses 20 and 21. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the work of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornications, nor of their thefts. So this is where we are on day 833 of 15 days to flatten the curve. Roe versus Wade is not causing any of this. The Supreme Court is not causing any of this. The decision by the Supreme Court has exposed what was already under the surface. On the Bible study last night, I talked about, let me see if I can find that article. But it was an article from Breitbart.com where it shows a 29-year-old, oh, here it is. Here it is. Oh boy. Let me just read a couple of sentences of this to you. How about this for a headline? 29-year-old man identifying as a woman beats teen girl in a skateboarding tournament. I'll give you just a moment to let that sink in. 29-year-old man identifying as a woman beats a teenage girl in a skateboarding tournament. That's where we are. And that's what they're trying to defend. Now, I can't tell you, because I don't know the answer, I can't tell you how many times Now the End Begins has been suspended on Facebook. I have another 23 more days in my current suspension. This is my fourth suspension in 2022. And the previous three suspensions were all for a 30-day period. So I want you to realize that in the first 6 months of 2022, I have been suspended almost 2.5 times more than I have been unsuspended. And what do they suspend me for? They suspend me for talking about Drag Queen Story Hour. They definitely suspend me for talking about the vaccine. They suspend me for talking about the transgender situation. And the reason why they do that is because the things that we say at Now the End Begins goes against the official narrative. But let me tell you, if you're going to be a Bible believer, you just better put your big boy pants and your big girl pants on and just be ready to be going against the tide the entire time. Because when you hear stuff like this, that is the status quo, and that's what every major corporation is funding. That's what all the social media is working to protect. This is why people who expose that stuff are getting suspended all the time. And it doesn't bother me. You know, a couple of months ago, Facebook unpublished the main Now the End Begins page that we have had for 11 years. We had hundreds of thousands of followers. And they just took that page and they got rid of it. And I woke up one day and the page just didn't exist anymore. And they canceled us is what they did. Now, I waited a couple of days and I went and I started a new page, and we have close to 2,000 people on the new page. But I really did it more of a reaction to let Facebook know that I really don't care about their stupid suspensions, and I really don't care about their stupid canceling, and, you know, they can cancel us all that they want to. We're getting ready to celebrate 100 million visits to Now the End Begins since we started. And that's going to take place sometime in the next couple of weeks. And we're going to have a big sale at the bookstore, and we're going to celebrate that. 100 million visits to Now the End Begins since we started. And to me, that's really something to get excited about. Because the Lord has given us an open door that no man can shut. And so they can suspend me all they want. It doesn't bother me at all. Now, the article that they suspended me for was from June 21st. Vax 2.0, Moderna announces that human trials of new hybrid flu and COVID messenger RNA vaccine are officially underway for a rollout late next year. Moderna is announcing human trials of the new hybrid flu-COVID vaccine. Now, when they locked us down, when we had 2+ years of the pandemic, they were able to stick that injection into about 62% of the world population. They were able to vaccinate or inject roughly 62% of the entire world. Now, you would think that that would be enough and they would go on to something else. But they're not going on to something else. The next step is they're going to combine multiple things like the flu, COVID, maybe polio, and they're going to make those mandatory. That's what they're going to do. But before I get there, I want you to listen to this. Why is Emmanuel Macron concerned with what the U.S. Supreme Court has decided about Roe versus Wade? And yet, he is very concerned. So much so that France is altering their own constitution. Take a listen to this.
Now, France was one of several U.S. allies to condemn the U.S. Supreme Court decision, with President Macron calling abortion a fundamental right for all women. The move has prompted French lawmakers to propose a bill to inscribe abortion rights into the French Constitution. With more details, here's Jenny Shin.
Following the U.S. Supreme Court's decision, crowds in Paris gathered to voice their concerns.
Ça fait extrêmement peur sur l'impact que ça peut avoir dans le reste du monde. En France, on a une montée d'extrême. On peut, oui, en effet, avoir peur que ce droit soit remis en question.
C'est la base qu'on puisse faire ce qu'on veut avec son corps. Enfin voilà, tout simplement.
A right acquired through hard battles in the streets, in front of courts, and in the National Assembly. Abortion has been decriminalized by French law since 1975.
Aucune femme ne recourt de gaieté de cœur à l'avortement. Il suffit d'écouter les femmes. C'est toujours un drame, cela restera toujours un drame.
A fragile achievement that must be protected at all costs and enshrined in the French Constitution, according to France's High Council for Equality.
Regardez ce qui s'est passé à l'Assemblée. Les majorités peuvent changer. Les conservateurs peuvent, ou réactionnaires des mouvements vraiment anti-avortement peuvent un jour gagner et remettre en cause la loi.
The left-wing France Unbound Party has pledged to introduce a bill to this effect, as well as President Macron's Republic on the Move, in a rare eye-to-eye move for the two parties.
Nous, on souhaite vraiment œuvrer pour que ce droit à l'avortement soit inscrit dans la Constitution. Et si La République En Marche va au bout de son texte, bien évidemment, on votera pour, puisque la cause est trop importante.
In 2019, the presidential majority refused, for the second time, to cement abortion rights in the Constitution. Today, the Prime Minister is asking for the right to be carved in stone.
So there you have Emmanuel Macron and France reacting so strongly and reacting so quickly to something that took place in the United States. Now, why would that trigger a change in the French Constitution? Well, Macron is not your usual leader. The Bible says this. The Bible says that when the Antichrist comes, he's going to think to change the times. Daniel 2:21. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. That's what the Bible says that God does, is he sets up rulers. He sets up rulers and he takes down rulers. So where did Emmanuel Macron come from? Emmanuel Macron came because God put him in place. Why do we have Joe Biden in the United States right now? Because God put him in place. And so these things are happening because God is getting ready to bring about his strange act and his strange work. Turn to Isaiah chapter 28. Turn to Isaiah chapter 28. And look down in verse 21. For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim, he shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. Now therefore, be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong. For I have heard from the Lord God of hosts a consumption, even determined upon the whole earth. And so these are the things that are taking place. This is why we're seeing all these crazy things going on. Because the world is preparing itself for Antichrist as the church is preparing itself to take off on Flight 777. And so we have a very large dichotomy between the people who are waiting for Flight 777 and the people who are waiting for Antichrist. You know, from time to time, people will say to me, you know, why do you spend so much time talking about the man of sin and talking about Antichrist? The Bible doesn't tell us to look for Antichrist. Well, it is true that we are told to wait for his son from heaven. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 10. And to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And then when you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you see the same thing. Verse 16, 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So, that's exactly what we're called to do as Christians. We are to wait for his son from heaven and be very busy about his business while we wait. But 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 tells you that if you're waiting for that pre-tribulation rapture, two things have got to take place first. 2 Thessalonians 2:3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Two things have always had to exist in order for the rapture to take place. You had to have the falling away, and that started around 1888, 1890. And then you have to have the revelation or the revealing of the man of sin. And we are getting very, 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 very close to that second requirement for the pre-tribulation rapture. How close are we getting? Take a listen to this.
We are probably one of the last generations of Homo sapiens, because in the coming generations, we will learn how to engineer bodies and brains and minds. Now, how exactly will the future masters of the planet look like? This will be decided by the people who own the data. Now, why is data so important? It's important.
All right, I have played this clip before, but I want to stop Mr. Harari. He said that the future will be decided by the people that own the data. I'll repeat that one more time as you turn to Daniel chapter 12. Yuval Harari just told you that the future is going to be decided by the people that own the data. Well, what is data? It's facts and figures. It's knowledge is what data is. Daniel chapter 12 verse 4. I want you to think about this verse. Yuval Harari just told you that the coming future, the time of Jacob's trouble, is going to be determined and decided by the people that own the data. Daniel 12:4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Do you realize that every time that you turn on your computer, every time that you open up your mobile phone and you look something up and you say, I want to find out what's going on in the English Parliament today. And then you type that in and then you go there. I want to find out what Emmanuel Macron is up to today. And you type in your request and you go there. I want to find out what's happening in Israel today. You look it up and you go there. I want to find out what's happening with Russia and Ukraine. You look it up and then you go there. Many shall run to and fro. There's your internet right there. And knowledge shall be increased. Yuval Harari just told you that the people who own the knowledge are the people that control what's coming. I'm going to play it again.
We are probably one of the last generations of Homo sapiens, because in the coming generations, we will learn how to engineer bodies and brains and minds. Now, how exactly will the future masters of the planet look like? This will be decided by the people who own the data. Now, why is data so important? It's important because we've reached the point when we can hack not just computers, we can hack human beings and other organisms. Now, what do you need?
All right, let me stop Mr. Harari there again. He told you that the people who control the data, the people who control the knowledge, they control what's coming. And then he tells you that now we're going to hack the human body. What do you think the mark of the beast is, aside from the government injection? Because the mark of the beast goes inside the back of your right hand, and it goes in your forehead. That's what the mark of the beast is. But Yuval Harari just told you that the time has come to hack the human body, which, in an amazing coincidence, is exactly what the CEO of Moderna says mRNA technology was designed to do. He said it was designed to hack the kingdom of life.
In order to hack a human being, you need two things. You need a lot of computing power, and you need a lot of data, especially biometric data. But control of data might enable human elites to do something even more radical. than just build digital dictatorships. By hacking organisms, elites may...
Did you hear what he said? That he's expecting to do a whole lot more than just build a digital dictatorship. He's admitting to you that the whole goal is to build a digital dictatorship. What do you think the metaverse is? What do you think augmented and virtual reality are designed to do? You gotta wake up.
Gain the power to re-engineer the future of life itself. Because once you can hack something, you can usually also engineer it. All of life, for 4 billion years, dinosaurs, amoebas, tomatoes, humans, all of life was subject to the laws of natural selection and to the laws of organic biochemistry. But this is now about to change. Science is replacing evolution by natural selection with evolution by intelligent design. Not the intelligent design of some god above the clouds, but our intelligent design and the intelligent design of our clouds.
Gonna stop him yet again. Did you hear what he just said? That we're not here, we are no longer going to listen to some god in the clouds. We have our own cloud. And this is the Tower of Babel. Digitally speaking. So you've got to understand that the future is digital. The mark of the beast is digital. The mark of the beast is designed to connect to the internet. Why do you think facial recognition technology is absolutely exploding? A couple of days ago, we did an article. Let me just pull it up real quick. Australia is the only democratic nation that is tracking its citizens by their face print. I want you to write that word down. You're going to hear it a lot in the coming months. The fingerprint is being replaced by your face print. And if you think that I'm making it up or I'm exaggerating, you would be very mistaken. We have had fingerprints for about 100 years. And that has been the standard means of identification. And then about 30 years ago, DNA technology got very, very popular. And DNA identification is used. But now something is getting ready to replace the fingerprint, and it is the face print. And in the nation of Australia, they used COVID as the perfect excuse to roll out that technology, and they are not unrolling it anytime soon. In fact, that technology is now expanding to other nations. So this is the future, but let's just finish listening to Mr. Harari.
The IBM cloud, the Microsoft cloud, these are the new driving forces of evolution. And at the same time, science may enable life after being confined for 4 billion years to the limited realm of organic compounds. Science may enable life to break out into the inorganic realm. Humans are now hackable animals. You know, the whole idea that humans have, you know, this, they have this soul or spirit and they have free will and nobody knows what's happening inside me. So whatever I choose, whether in the election or whether in the supermarket, this is my free will. That's over. Free will, that's over.
That's over.
Over. Today, we have the technology to hack human beings on a massive scale. Yeah, I mean, everything is being digitalized. Everything is being monitored. In this time of crisis, you have to follow science. It's often said that you should never allow a good crisis to go to waste, because a crisis is an opportunity to also do good reforms that in normal times people will never agree to, but in a crisis you see we have no chance. So let's do it.
Vaccine won't help us go
the
to the test, of course.
Will help us, of course. It will make things, you know, more manageable.
Surveillance. People could look back in 100 years and identify the coronavirus epidemic as the moment when a new regime of surveillance took over, especially surveillance under the skin, which I think is maybe the most important development of the 21st century, is this ability to hack human beings, to go under the skin, collect biometric data, analyze it, and understand people better than they understand themselves. This, I believe, is maybe the most important event of the 21st century.
By hacking organisms, elites may gain the power to re-engineer the future of life itself. Because once you can hack something, you can usually also engineer it.
Natural selection is...
So there you have a really good biblical breakdown of what Yuval Noah Harari said last year, and we've played that clip before, but I wanted to stop him at various points to show you how what he said lines up with Bible prophecy really, really, really well. And the stunning part is, obviously, Noah Harari, Yuval, he's Jewish. And you know what the Bible says about the Jewish people? It says that unto them, meaning the Jewish people, were committed the oracles of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 2. Verse 1, Romans 3, 1. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Paul says, much every way, chiefly because that unto them, the Jewish people, were committed the oracles of God. And what are the oracles of God? You read the oracles of God every time you open up your King James Bible. The oracles of God are Genesis to Revelation. And that was committed unto the Jewish people. There's not one writer from Genesis to Revelation that was not Jewish. Noval Harari, Yuval Harari, very, very smart guy. He probably operates at the genius level. And he may just be one of the smartest people to burn in hell. Now you think about that. Would you want to be that smart? No thanks. Please have me excused from that. So, this is where we are on day 833 of 15 days to flatten the curve. Let's switch gears just for a moment, and let's talk about something called Disease X. Disease X. Most of you have not heard of that. I didn't hear about it until last night. But... and I'm just pulling up the story right now. Take a listen to this headline. Could Disease X be right around the corner? Top professor warns Britain needs to strengthen its preparations for the possibility of a new pandemic amid the outbreak of COVID, monkeypox, and polio. COVID, monkeypox, polio. Could this be why Joe Biden said this last week? Take a listen. It's only 21 seconds long, so you got to listen fast. But take a listen to Joe Biden telling you to get ready for the second pandemic.
At least this year, we do need more money. But we don't just need more money for vaccines for children eventually. We need more money to plan for the second pandemic. There's going to be another pandemic. We have to think ahead. And that's not something the last outfit did very well. That's something we've been doing fairly well. That's why we need the money. Thank you all.
That was only 21 seconds. I think I'll play that again. But did you hear Joe Biden tell you to get ready for the second pandemic?
At least this year, we do need more money. But we don't just need more money for vaccines for children eventually. We need more money to plan for the second pandemic. There's going to be another pandemic. We have to think ahead. And that's not something the last outfit did very well. That's something we've been doing fairly well. That's why we need the money. Thank you all.
So there you have, on one hand, Joe Biden telling you that the second pandemic is absolutely coming. But Bill Gates told you that a couple months ago, too. But when you take that and you read stories that I'm about to read to you about something that they're calling Disease X. Do you remember a couple of months ago the Bible study that we did about words that end in X? And that was based on an excellent Bible study from Peter Ruckman from the 1970s. And if you've never heard him preach that sermon, just go to YouTube and type in Ruckman, the end of the rope. And he will tell you all about words that end in X. I think it's the end of the rope. Maybe it's the mark of the beast. I can't remember. It's one of those two. But words that end in X. And now we have Disease X. And let me just read this to you, published on June 26th, that's yesterday, from the Daily Mail. Britain has to strengthen its preparations for the possibility of a new pandemic labeled Disease X, according to experts, after a string of infectious diseases hit the UK over the past 6 months. After traces of polio was found in sewage samples in parts of London for the first time in 40 years, an expert in diseases had said this after a series of health events in the past 6 months, that there is likely to be something on the horizon. The UK detected a strain of H5 bird flu in a human in January of this year in the southwest of England, and in February, three cases of Lassa fever, one of which died from the disease. So over in England, they're wondering, is there going to be an outbreak of about 8 or 9 different infectious diseases that are all going to pile together and come together? Well, you know what that sounds like to me? Turn to Matthew 24. Turn to Matthew chapter 24, verse 7. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, the beginning of sorrows absolutely begins in the end of the church age, going into the time of Jacob's trouble, because all dispensations overlap each other. Can you imagine what it would be like if 7, 8, or 9, or maybe 10 different diseases all were merged together? What do you think would happen then? Well, what would happen then is you would be in the beginning of sorrows, and I think, and it's just my own personal opinion, I think the beginnings of sorrows started back in March of 2020. That's one of the reasons why we continue our countdown, day 833 of 15 days to flatten the curve, and I'm ready to retire the countdown whenever the countdown comes to an end, but it hasn't come to an end just yet. And all of this is leading you to the mark of the beast. All of this is leading you to the one world government. All of this is leading you to the Day of Wonders.
Welcome to the Day of Wonders.
Willie! Pelosi. Congratulations. You are the very first to participate in the Day of Wonders.
My eyes. I can see you.
That's right, Cindy. You can see. You can see. Look. All around you. You can see the blue sky. You can see the beautiful sunsets. From now on, you'll be able to see everything. Not just in here, but out there.
Your voice. You're the Messiah.
That's right. There's nothing to be afraid of. Give me your hand.
No.
Give me your hand. There's absolutely nothing to be frightened of. Look.
Oh. No, but I wore the goggles before and I couldn't see this.
Today is the Day of Wonders. Everything that you see is real. All illusions have been shattered. This is real.
Yes.
I am real. All you have to do, Cindy, is trust in me. Believe in me. And all of it shall be yours.
But I do. I believe in you. I do.
And renounce it, Cindy. Tell the Son of Man that he has no place in your heart, that he has no place in your life. Tell him that you have tasted of the fruit of the tree of knowledge. Tell him, Cindy. And then pledge your allegiance to me. Take my mark. Me.
That's all you have to do.
The one true God.
Put on those VR goggles.
I do.
There it is.
Oh my God. I do. Yes. Yes.
Now, that clip that I just played for you called The Day of Wonders is from a movie called Apocalypse 2 Revelation from 1999. That movie is 23 years old. I've watched that movie about a dozen times over the years. From an acting perspective, it's a little on the cheesy side. Most Christian movies, for whatever reason, wind up being a little bit on the cheesy side. But I'm going to tell you something. What they're talking about in that movie, using virtual reality headsets to see the mark of the beast and to spend time with the Antichrist. Why do you think it's a coincidence that 23 years after that movie came out, the people who run the world are Twitter, Facebook, Meta, Amazon, Google, Elon Musk, Bill Gates, Microsoft. And what are every one of those people working on? Brain chips, implantable human devices, the metaverse, augmented reality, virtual reality. It's like they all watched that movie, got together in a back room, and said, hey, why don't we put billions and billions of dollars into a big pile, and why don't we see if we can make that come true? Because that's exactly, when I look at what's going on, that's exactly what's happening right now. Now, it is true that they have had that technology for a long time. But did you ever think that that technology would get to the point where virtual reality goggles would become a billion-dollar industry with five companies right now working to make the metaverse a reality. That's a long way from a video game. You know, back in the 1980s, the big video game was Super Mario. And that was just so much fun to play. And me and my brothers and my mom and dad, we used to play that game and we used to just love playing Super Mario. But there was nothing otherworldly about Super Mario and the funny little noises that it made. There was nothing linked to Bible prophecy from Super Mario, because Super Mario was simply just a video game. But the virtual reality that they're working on right now, that's not a game. Citibank says that by the year 2030, the metaverse will be an $8 trillion business with over 5 billion users logging in on a daily basis. Citibank is preparing right now for that reality. And so is Google, Amazon, Microsoft, Elon Musk, Tesla, Twitter, Facebook, Meta. They are all preparing for that reality. And when you add all that together, plus the clip that I just played from Yuval Harari, where he talks about hacking the human being, and we don't need God up in a cloud, we have our own cloud, and if you have the data, you control everything. He's exactly right. And Daniel 12:4 shows you how right he really is. But he doesn't know why he's right. You see, that's the thing. There are three things in the Bible that if you want to have a life that gives glory to God, you got to have knowledge, you got to have wisdom, and you got to have understanding. You got to have knowledge, you've got to have wisdom, and you've got to have understanding. Now, the Bible says about Satan that he is unbelievably wise. That's what the Bible says about Satan. Let me just pull up that verse from, I think it's the book of Ezekiel, where it talks about he sealeth up the sum in beauty and wisdom. Oh, where is that verse? Ezekiel, let me see here, here it is, Ezekiel 28, starting in verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. How do I know it's talking about Satan? The next verse. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, the topaz, and the diamond. The beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emeralds, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of God, of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Satan has wisdom, He certainly has knowledge, but he can't apply it because he has no understanding. He's crafty, but he's not very smart. And so if you're going to understand about the end times that you find yourself in, you have to get wisdom, you have to get knowledge. Wisdom and knowledge, just read the book of Proverbs, and you won't get too many pages into the book of Proverbs without reading all about how important wisdom and knowledge are. But if you don't have understanding, turn to John chapter 16. If you don't have understanding, then wisdom and knowledge aren't going to do you any good. Albert Einstein had a lot of knowledge. John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. That's how you get understanding. John 16:13. And the devil doesn't have that, because the devil doesn't have the Holy Spirit. But if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. But if you're not saved, turn to John chapter 8, and I'll show you the current condition of Bill Gates, Anthony Fauci, Joe Biden, Elon Musk, and all the rest of these people. I will show you their condition. In John chapter 8, verse 44, we talked about it last night when we talked about Cain and Abel. Year of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And this is what you have to have if you're going to understand the times in which you find yourself. You have to have wisdom. You have to have knowledge. You get wisdom and knowledge from reading your Bible. But if you don't have understanding, if you don't have that spiritual guide from the Holy Spirit, if you are what the Bible calls a natural man or woman, you're going nowhere. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. No, actually, verses 12 through 14. 1 Corinthians 2, 12 through 14. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned.
And I'm here to tell you that our enemies are not just the jackasses sitting behind those ivory towers. It's not the orange state of that left office a few years ago. It's not just Tucker Carlson of Fox News. It is every single one of them. The time for compromise is over.
Have you ever wondered what it would have been like if you could have been a fly on the wall back in Genesis 19, when the men of Sodom were banging on Lot's door, demanding that he deliver them the two angels that came in, and they banged on the door, and they threatened to break it down, and they said, bring them out that we may know them. Have you ever imagined what that scene must have been like? It must have been a whole lot like...
And I'm here to tell you that our enemies are not just the jackasses sitting behind those ivory towers! It's not the orange state of s**t that left office a few years ago! It's not just Tucker f***ing Carlson on Fox News! It is every single one of them!
I hate to keep playing that same clip over and over, but I think you get the idea. That's what's raging in the streets right now. And so we see that the U.S. Supreme Court decision has not created this. Don't go blaming the U.S. Supreme Court. The decision by the U.S. Supreme Court has exposed this. By and large, people on the right don't riot. By and large, people on the right don't scream and shout like that. And so what we've had for a great number of years is the radical left. The Bible says that Leviathan is the king over the children of pride. And what we've had for a great number of years now has been that side getting larger, stronger, and more vocal. And the people on the right have largely kind of did what they had to do to get along with it. I mean, when's the last time that you saw a huge anti-LGBT protest? When's the last time that you saw a huge anti-Black Lives Matter protest? When's the last time that you saw a large anti-Antifa protest? I've never seen any one of those things. And yet, with the people on the left-hand side, they gather together. Thousands of them will congregate almost instantly at the blink of an eye. And they're very loud, they're very vocal, and they're highly funded by people like George Soros. And this has been going on for about 20 years now. And with each passing year, it gets worse and worse and worse. But the people on the right side are really kind of putting up with it to maintain the peace as much as possible. But now this decision by the U.S. Supreme Court has ripped the Band-Aid off of the wound. And now you're seeing just how infected the thing really, really is. And all of this craziness is bubbling up to the surface. Now, how did we get to the place where the U.S. Supreme Court was able to make that decision? Well, take a listen to Donald Trump taking a victory lap on the end of Roe versus Wade.
We've got some very big news, don't we? We have very big news. Maybe the biggest. Yesterday, the court handed down a victory for the Constitution, a victory for the rule of law, and above all, a victory for life. This breakthrough is the answer to the prayers of millions and millions of people. And these prayers have gone on for decades. For decades and decades they've been praying, and now those prayers have been answered. I promise to nominate judges and justices who would stand up for the original meaning of the Constitution and who would honestly and faithfully interpret the law as written. We got almost 300 federal judges and three great Supreme Court justices confirmed to do exactly that. And thanks to the courage found within the United States Supreme Court, this long divisive issue will be decided by the states and by the American people. That's the way It should have been many, many years ago, and that's the way it is now. So congratulations. As for the Republican Party, we are today the party of life, and we are the party of everyone. We're the party of everyone.
Now, I want you to think about this for a second. If you remember what it was like 6 years ago when Donald Trump first ran for president, and you remember, I mean, don't get me wrong, it was entertaining, there's no doubt about that. And Trump did much better for America than what Hillary Clinton would have done had she won. But if you remember what an absolute circus that it was 6 years ago, and the degrees to which the mainstream media perjured themselves to try to get rid of Donald Trump, if you thought it was bad 6 years ago, just wait until the campaign season starts for the 2024 elections. I know we're coming up on the midterms. We're really just a couple of months away from the midterms. And I can't imagine at this point, they said that since Friday, over 1 million people have registered to vote Republican just since Friday. So the red wave has now become I don't even want to call it a tidal wave. It's really more like a tsunami. And there's going to be a cataclysmic shift that's going to take place in November in America. There has to be. And it is going to be unbelievably momentous what's going to take place in November. But before you get too excited, I want you to remember that that is going to set the stage for the things that are going to take place for the presidential election, which will start, the campaigning is going to start almost immediately after the midterms. And it is going to be, if you thought it was crazy 6 years ago, if you thought that the left had unleashed the hounds of hell 6 years ago, that's nothing compared to what's coming in 2024. There's going to be riots and burnings and muggings and lootings and rapings and murders. I know it sounds like I'm describing the summer of 2020 when you had 6 months of burning, looting, riot, raping, and murder from Black Lives Matter and Antifa. But if you thought that was bad, and it was, you just wait till 2024 and you're going to see people getting killed in large numbers. You're going to see the American Civil War that's been percolating since the days of Obama, you're going to see that break out. And it's going to make what happened in 2020, and don't get me wrong, 2020 was really bad. $2 billion worth of damage in filed insurance claims. 20 people were murdered by Black Lives Matter and Antifa. 2 women were raped. And all this took place over a 6-month period of time. But if you thought that was bad, that's nothing compared to what's coming in America right after the midterm elections. So hold on to your hats, everybody, because things, they're not going to get better. They're going to get a whole lot worse. Now, in the meantime, we're not sitting here with our heads hanging down. We are not moving to our offshore location. We're not going into our underground bunker. We're not packing up and moving to the compound. We are on the streets. We are on the front lines of the end times. And between now and the end of the year, we need to raise enough money to send out another 25,000 King James Bibles. And I want you to pray about helping us to do that. Not only that, we have 6 billboards up right now. We're getting ready to send thousands of Bibles to the Philippines. We're getting requests for Bibles every single day of the week. And we need your help to be able to do it. So please pray for this ministry. Pray for our free Bible and Gospel Tract program. Please pray for our billboard program. We spend about $8,000 a month on billboards. Very expensive. But it's worth every penny. We spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars every single month giving away free Bibles. And it's worth every single penny. So please pray about this program, and if God has given you some resources and you're looking for a really good place to put those resources, please come and invest in our free Bible and Gospel Tract program. We are 100% funded by you. We have no ads, no sponsors. Now the End Begins is 100% supported by our readers and by our listeners. We take no outside support of any kind. To the fight. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being part of the NTEB Global Family of Bible Believers across America and around the world. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Wednesday night for our Part 2 Genesis Nuggets series. Have a great week, everybody.
The Bible says my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is lighter. I wish I could describe him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You see, you can't get him off of your head. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him.